On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the Chiefs improve to 2-2 and get a crucial victory over the Baltimore Ravens. And boy, are they in trouble. Injuries galore are striking them again. Eagles survive another late Baker comeback, but Baker ended up turning the ball over and the Eagles get the win and beat the Buccaneers for the first time in a while, actually. Eagles are now 4-0, and the Packers and the Cowboys, 40-40 tie. That's a scoregami. After that, week 4, top 3, bottom 3. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88, Dean Radio, and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Week 4 of the NFL season has come and gone. We're starting to get a better layout of how the league is going to look this season. But boy, there are still a lot of questions, especially in the late afternoon slate, the Chiefs beating the Ravens 37-20, and this was not close from start to finish. Chiefs went out, or Ravens actually scored first. Chiefs were able to come back and get on the board, ended up taking the lead and never let up. Lamar didn't have a great game, had a couple turnovers in the first half, then had a hamstring injury, and they showed the replay of it too. And it was a little odd at first. You didn't really see anything. Or first they were like, oh, Lamar was just in the blue tent and Cooper Rush isn't in the game now. And then they show a replay of what it could have possibly been, and you didn't really see anything. But at that point, the game was already lost. Ravens just had no juice. And the Chiefs, back from the dead. I don't really know what else to say. Just when you think that they're dead in the water, they pull themselves right back out of it. That's really what we saw here. And the Chiefs have been the Ravens' daddies now for the last few years. They're now 6-1 against Baltimore. They got their number. That's also just one of the main storylines here. But along with that, it is injuries have started to mount up now. So you got Lamar with his hamstring injury. Roquan Smith got hurt as well. You got another player that's out for the season with a neck injury. I'm pulling it up right now. Roquan Smith, grade 2 hamstring strain, miss a few weeks. And your defensive tackle, Nnamdi Madubuike. Terrible. I'm sorry.
It's just Madubuike. Don't let Tuck hear you mispronounce that.
I'm sorry. Out for the season with a neck injury, though. Prayers up for him. Hopefully, obviously serious enough where he's going to miss the rest of the season, but hopefully it doesn't derail his career. Neck injuries are always very scary, so hoping for a full recovery on that. But Baltimore, they are now the question. Now you look at Baltimore and you're thinking, boy, they are looking dead in the water right now. And I did not like the way Baltimore played at all. And I think Tony Romo throughout the game kind of summed it up best. Derrick Henry, besides Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry is your best offensive player and you need to get him the ball, as they proceeded to not give him the football. Patrick Mahomes had himself a day, 4 touchdowns. Question is, how much in trouble is Baltimore? I mentioned not giving the ball to Derrick Henry. Only 8 carries in this game. Only 8. They rushed for 9.8 yards per carry, but that's kind of overblown from the 71-yard touchdown run that Justice Hill had in the fourth quarter during Garbo time. CJ. Your thoughts.
Good. You mentioned the Chiefs' perpetual ownership of the Ravens. right? Oh my God. Just get to a point where, hell, even the Buffalo Bills can beat Kansas City in the regular season, at least. If you're the Ravens, you got nothing. And like you said, you look at the stats, right? The Ravens had, you look at their rushing yards, right? Like you said, they had 166 rushing yards. Okay, cool. Almost half was literally from one play. It was literally from Justice Hill, right? You said 71 yards. I mean, granted, that's not half, but close enough, you know? And not to mention, Hill had 76 total yards on three carries. So it's literally just one play, one fluke play in garbage time was able to cut it down to, oh boy, a three-score game. In reality, it's probably 37 to 13. And then there's the injury. You know, just when you think the Ravens finally got over their injury bug, you know, Lamar had strung together a few healthy seasons, the defense was turning it around, they said, haha, just kidding, now you are going to be injured again. Just fates have a funny way of doing that, I tell you what. But I don't know what it's going to take. I sincerely don't. We need to have a talk about how serious of a team the Baltimore Ravens are. I was willing to look past their loss to the Bills as, you know, week one jitters, right? Losing to the Lions, you know, a little concerning because what have I said before? If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, right? However, you cannot beat these good teams. And City was 1-2 coming in. And yeah, they're not the Kansas City Chiefs teams, you know, that went to the Super Bowl these past 2 years. But still, as long as they have Mahomes, there's nothing to sneeze at. I think we can all agree. So now, you cannot beat Buffalo. You cannot beat Kansas City. You can't beat Detroit, who's looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. So where exactly are you? Because you're not Super Bowl contenders anymore. After this loss, I genuinely do not view them as Super Bowl contenders just as it sits right now. Obviously, contenders on the fringes can come and go. We know this. It happens every year. But I feel like they definitely have taken the next few weeks and earned their way back into that conversation. But Nnamdi Madubuike is out for the year. Roquan Smith is banged up. You know, he's going to miss a few weeks. Marlon Humphrey is going to miss a few weeks. Lamar Jackson hamstring injury. I know he's listed as questionable. But as a Patriots fan who watched Christian Gonzalez suffer a hamstring injury, they can linger. See, that's the thing. Hamstring's tricky. It's this weird little injury limbo. There's three types of injuries. Turf toe, high ankle sprains, and hamstrings that are cut from that same cloth of maybe you're out a week, maybe you're out 2 months. We may never know. And that's just not what the Ravens need right now. And a lot of it, too, even beyond health, because make no mistake, my fellow football fans, they were getting smoked while Lamar was in the game. Lamar's presence changes absolutely nothing. I want to make that abundantly clear. And it's going to make their road going forward a hell of a lot harder. So when I say we need to have a talk, we need to have a talk about John Harbaugh. You know, if you've been watching the show for the past few years, I'm not a fan. I'm still not a fan. I continue to be not a fan. So like what's it going to take? Literally, what's it going to take? And don't give me the, okay, he has a ring. That ring is over a decade old. His ring is literally like close to like 12, 13 years old. The NFL, a what have you done for me lately league. And you all know what he's done for you lately? Nothing. I see Lamar doing things. I see Lamar pulling his weight. But whatever happened to like John Harbaugh, who's supposed to be this good leader, this elite game planner, because the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs just end up taking their lunch every postseason. And even our good friend Justin Tucker, who could not be here today, who is a Ravens fan, is finally starting to voice his frustrations with Harbaugh. And there are other Ravens fans that I know that have said maybe it's time Harbaugh gets the blame Lamar gets. And I've said this for a while. So I guess to the Ravens, what's it going to take for you to pull the trigger and make a change? Or at bare minimum, get rid of your defensive coordinator, Zach Orr. He's not it. They're missing Mike McDonald badly. Because you may know, Mike McDonald was their defensive coordinator before he became head coach of the Seahawks. They're missing him. Like, they still have not adjusted. Zach Orr, God love him, should not be a defensive coordinator. Or maybe he could be, but I think he was just thrust up into that role too soon because I believe he was their linebackers coach. And all of a sudden, hey, sudden change. I just don't think he was ready. And the injuries aren't going to help, but it was not good to begin with. And that's something that I'm concerned about is that they're going to be like, oh, we're not good because of the injuries, to which I say, no, you were not good long before that.
Yeah, and, you know, this the last few years, you know, this Baltimore, like, Ravens have had teams that were capable of making a Super Bowl run, but they never, as you mentioned, never were able to get past the Bills and the Chiefs because they kept sunning them the entire time, year after year. So, yeah, to your point, if I had the choice, I would probably see how the rest of this season goes, like, and I think this would be it for John Harbaugh, to be honest. But as you mentioned, with the injuries, it makes it hard to kind of fire a guy over it, you know.
But
or at least have
well
that
past his expiration date. That's the problem I have.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah. No,
it's
I agree.
Not the injuries, and I'm worried that he's going to use the injuries as an excuse. Kind of like, it's kind of what the Bengals do. You know, I meant not the Bengals, Zach Taylor, right? And that's what he's going to do again. Whenever the Bengals are hurt and they peter out, even though Zach Taylor is a no-not good coach, he says, you can't fire me. It's the injuries. And I know Harbaugh is going to do the same thing. He's escaped this before. And if the Ravens and Steve Bisciotti have any sense, I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah. We'll see how long these injuries end up lasting, if they end up hampering the season that much. I know looking at the schedule right now, Texans, Rams, Bears, and Dolphins in the month of October, those are the October opponents. So you can get yourself back on track with at least two of those games. I can tell you that much. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Eagles get the win in Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield almost did it again. This is the Fumbrewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumbrewski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ, I'm Chris. The Eagles get the win. Aruski game of the week. Great pick.
Well deserved.
Glad we didn't pick the Chiefs or the Ravens over this one.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have that as their game of the week, but no, this was far more interesting.
Yeah. Two undefeated teams. Eagles, surprisingly, always have a tough time with Tampa Bay, including last season or just the last few years in general, with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback. The Philadelphia Eagles have now not lost a game with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback since this time last season, where they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Insane. It goes to show how, obviously we talk shit or people talk shit all the time about how Jalen Hurts isn't a top five quarterback because the lack of throwing that they have in the offense because they don't need to. But, you know, he does show time and time again that when they do need him to throw the football, aka last week against the Rams, he ends up showing up. Now, I will say the passing offense in the second half was almost non-existent. In total, 130 yards for Jalen Hurts. And then, of course, A.J. Brown went to Twitter and, of course, had to stir some shit up. Get this man in New England. Get this man in New England right now. I need this man in a Pats uniform with Mike Vrabel. Get that wide receiver Diva One energy over here right now. That would mix so great with it with Stephon Diggs. Oh my goodness. But here's the tweet itself. It's actually I think it's a Bible quote in general. If you're not welcome, not listen to, quietly withdraw, do not make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. Thank you, Adam. That was pretty good. That was great timing. He posted that, kind of stirred it up a little bit on social media, and I think he tweeted out like an hour later after the game and was like, I love you all, or something like, I don't know, just trying to cool the tensions, I guess, but definitely odd. He had 9 targets, though. I don't think many people realize that. He ended up with 9 targets. Only 2 catches on those 9. So, does he have a right to be mad at that point?
Well, that is the question of the day. It always feels like A.J. Brown on the Eagles, especially since around the halfway point of last season, you know, where he's like reading books on the sidelines and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, they're winning, but they can obviously win without him. And it just feels more and more, I could be wrong, like jamming like a square peg into a round hole. I mean, sure, maybe you could get the cohesion. Maybe you could get the square peg to fit in the round hole, but it's not where it's supposed to be. You know?
Yeah.
But I just, and like you said, the 9 targets, a lot of them, this is the other side of the coin. I felt like Hurts was force feeding him. Because you know, A.J. Brown is obviously the wide receiver one, right? We can all agree.
Oh, like you should force feed him sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you should, but there's a difference between force feeding and making some ill-advised throws into double coverage, sailing passes, just throwing the ball in his vicinity and hoping he'll grab it. And maybe you could argue that he should be reeling those in, but if it's not coming naturally, then maybe you don't do that because you're only going to hurt yourself. And when you're just trying to force the football in A.J. Brown's direction, when you're force feeding him and it's just not working, then that opens the door for teams like Tampa, where you have your foot on their neck, for them to come back and make it a game, because that's exactly what happened. You saw it just as well as I did. Like when you're trying to force it one way and it's not working, you let the other team back in, and it only ended up being a 1-score game. And yeah, Jalen Hurts wasn't the best. He only 130 yards, 15-24. A lot of short passes, 2 touchdowns, though, through the air, no picks. 62 yards on the ground. You can't hate it. I mean, if it works, it works. But I'm going to be honest. I'm getting really tired of the Jalen Hurts stuff.
Now that.
Holy.
Yeah. For the listeners, A.J. Brown currently on pace for just 624 receiving yards, according to ESPN projections, through the first 4 weeks. Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
I mean, if he doesn't get the system, which he low-key kind of doesn't, then get him out. because as I was saying, this actually ties into that stat where he's on pace for 624 yards and unhappy, apparently. I'm tired. I am so just tired of the, oh, will he be traded? Is he unhappy? If he plays big, will he, won't he? Will he demand a trade? Is he happy? Oh, this is it this time. He's reading a book on the sideline. Oh, he's posting things that are cryptic. Ooh, what could it mean? I'm done. All right. Oh, but where there's smoke, there's fire. Look, 9 times out of 10, nothing ever happens.
Obviously something.
By the way, last week, Chris, he had a good game, did he not? And everyone's God. He's back. He had over 100 yards and a touchdown. Oh, my God, he's back. And now we went from we're back to it's over. And now that's what we're doing. This weird manic highs and lows. Just, I can't keep doing this. It's such a waste of energy. AJ Brown, my friend, even though I never met you, like, demand a trade or don't. Like, I'm tired of these cryptic tweets. I'm tired, and I hate it when all athletes do it. Where it's like, all right, dude, we're not passing notes in grade school. For the love of God, just if you want out, then try to get out. But if you don't, stop. I mean, heck, even the Super Bowl, even though the Eagles won and they manhandled Kansas City, as you recall, there is still some noise in the background that AJ Brown didn't really do a whole lot. And when that is one of the big takeaways of the Super Bowl, where you won convincingly, you know, then that's maybe a problem. And for reference, this is another stat that came up. This is for our listeners, if you're listening on Spotify or wherever we have it. AJ Brown has failed to reach 1,000 receiving yards just once in his 6 years in the league. He had 869 yards in 2021. So the fact that he would be on pace for a career low, just under 600 yards, 624, I believe, that's actually a huge problem.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're tired of all this manic highs and lows. The problem that I have is that the problem is that there's too many lows, right? Like AJ Brown, problem is he doesn't have enough high games for this to not be a problem. You know, like you want your receiver to get that's 9 targets a game is basically what Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are getting, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what you want to do. The problem is that he's not getting 9 targets. Obviously, he got 9 targets again in the last 2 games. But even if you just take a look back at last year, that wasn't really the case a lot of the games. I'd have to look back or if Adam can find that on the fly. But just think that there's too many lows for this to not be a problem at this point. And the argument that people should be having now is whether or not he should be traded to begin with or just get the fuck out of Philly in general.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Because just based on the eye test alone, he probably should be. If he's unhappy and there are all these cryptic tweets and they're trying to force feed him, because here's the thing. I know you said you should force feed a receiver. I'd argue you shouldn't. If he's open, he's open. If it's not flowing and it's not, and if it's not working, then what? Like if it's not flowing, that means it's not a fit. The chemistry should be there. And honestly, I just don't think the chemistry is there. And if it's not, then he should get out. Cause that's at least how it looks to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Adam said that he has a staff for us as well. I don't know if you were making a banner of it or if you just want to say it in my ear. Okay, I'm repeating. Week one. So week one, AJ Brown, 1 catch, 8 yards. Week two, against the Chiefs, he ended up having 5 catches, 27 yards. week three against the Rams. Six catches, 109 yards, and obviously one touchdown. Obviously, most of that was in this second half of that game. And then Sunday, two catches for 7 yards. That was when he got his nine targets. Obviously, the nine targets from the Rams as well. So obviously, the first two, he's had, so three of the first four games, if we're just looking at the catch, the total yards and the catches or the receptions that he's hauling in, not even the targets, it's not great numbers. And as a wide receiver one, you want to be able to show off the numbers as much as possible. But that's not really happening. Got anything else?
Yeah, like I said, it might just be a chemistry thing at this point.
Yeah. Curious to see what ends up happening with the Bucs. Their O-line's depleted. Chris Godwin, this is his first week back, so obviously wasn't expecting a whole lot and didn't get a whole lot. Three catches, 26 yards. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our 40-40 tie on Sunday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. TCG, I'm Chris. Cowboys and Packers tie 40-40. Couldn't get it done in 60 minutes. They couldn't get it done in 70 minutes. This was a fun game. It's unfortunate because this was a very fun game. Went down to the wire. Micah Parsons, his return to Dallas. By the way, CJ, did you watch any of the Football Night in America stuff prior to the game? Like,
No, I didn't watch anything prior to that game.
Oh, my God. It was one of the more ridiculous things I had ever seen because they decided to interview Jerry Jones on the on-field panel stage that they have. And as that's happening, Micah Parsons is running out of the tunnel and they're like, "Hey Jerry, how does it feel to see that happening? See that player donning anything but the Dallas Cowboys star." And just point blank being like, do you regret any of this, basically? And I just couldn't believe what I was watching for the most part. One of the most senile old man looking guys that you could ever think of. And they're just used to coach for Dallas during the Romo era.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah. All while Jason Garrett is sitting by his side. It's like, "It's okay, Dad. It's okay. I'll hold your hand through here." Quite the timing. Micah Parsons didn't have that big of a game, actually. He did have one sack, but if you watch the post-game sideline interview with Dak, the sack came on a play where Dak Prescott actually got back to the line of scrimmage on a scramble, but NFL rule book states, like, even if you get back to the line of scrimmage, it still constitutes anything that is less than 1 yard still constitutes as a sack. George Pickens ended up getting some untapped potential, just reached out of his throat in this game. Here's the Jerry Jones pregame interview. "The green and gold is a problem for me looking at it, but I had to think about the kinds of consideration that we got on the trade." I kind of took that as, obviously it happened. I didn't want it to happen, but shit has to get done sometimes. So that's kind of how I took it as, but obviously, you know, the way that Jerry has been running this team, it's it's really hard to, I guess, have that sort of viewpoint and not just say, oh,
yeah,
he's just running this fucking team to the ground.
Oh, he'd never admit that.
No. Your thoughts, though, on that whole thing, I guess, before we actually get into the game. If you have any thoughts on it.
I really don't. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yeah. I didn't actually watch it go down. This is just very Jerry.
Yeah. So George Pickens, back to him. 8 catches, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had himself a career day. Javonte Williams did good as well, over 4 yards carry. Dak Prescott, amazing day, 31 for 40, 319 yards, 3 touchdowns. Amazing quarterback play in general from these two teams. Jordan Love, 31 for 43, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns. It felt like, at least on the Packers side, I thought that they were just going to move the ball down, up and down the field at will all game long. But then the first quarter, it wasn't really happening that way. And then all of a sudden, Dallas is rattling off points. They got 16 in the second quarter. Green Bay ended up having fourth quarter points scored, 17 to 14 in favor of Dallas. 31 fourth quarter points. And I think most of them might have been scored in those last like 5 to 6 minutes as well. It was a wild finish. And of course, Dallas, they get the ball to start overtime, kick the field goal. Green Bay does the same thing. But boy, the way that they managed the way that Jordan Love and the rest of the team handled that like 30 seconds or that 25 second stretch. They get the completion on the right side. They're getting up to the line, but they took way too long to get the play in. And at that point, there was like, eight seconds left.
Yeah.
Ended up being a shit play. Wasn't a great pass. And by some miracle, there was 1 second left. Kick the field goal. We end with a 40-40 tie. And a scored Gami as well. 925 yards of total offense between these two teams. Packers ended up rushing for a total of 164 yards on their end. This was, the only thing to really be mad about is the tie at this point. That's really the only thing to be mad about, because this was going to go down as a all-time game or possibly game of the year situation. And ends in a tie. Couldn't get a winner.
This game is just... what? A tie? First of all, look, the NFL has to get rid of ties.
No.
Yes. Why? No. Why? Why should they get rid of ties? Answer me. Why?
For player health. Every other team does it, or every other league does something similar.
Four major American sports can you tie in, Chris? Explain this to me.
Hockey is 3-on-3 in the regular season for overtime, and then they go straight into a shootout, whereas playoffs, it is continuous until you get
sudden death. No, but that's not what I'm asking. My question literally was, can you tie in these other sports?
No.
Exactly. So football shouldn't do that either.
I think football is just a different sport in the sense of like there's so much more physical. Like,
yeah, I understand, but
because like if you like say you get a situation, say you get a situation like the Dallas Green Bay game, right? And the way that they're just going at each other all game. Obviously, you could say after that field goal from Green Bay, Dallas could have just done the same thing, get down, kick a field goal, and that's it. Say that doesn't happen. Now you're playing an extra, almost a damn near extra half of football. So that's 5 quarters of football in one game. Like, obviously that's great. That's more, I'm not going to complain about more football, but I think in the player safety standpoint, like no one actually wants to be doing that.
All right, then God help me. Maybe they should just adopt what they do in college, because I've really
I can get with that,
because that's got to change, like in general at least. And this isn't even about fairness or both teams should get the ball. It's just about eliminating ties. But regardless, I think they should, but that's neither here nor there. For the game itself, like you said, this had a potential to be not just a game of the year, but perhaps an all-timer. And then they just didn't do it, because the football gods like to laugh at the fans even more than they like to laugh at the Jets. And you saw Jerry Jones after the game, where he's like, oh, we got what we got, they got what they got. You know, like after the game, you know, talking about that. To which I say, yeah, Jerry, what's your record? Because, yeah, you got, they got, you know, and he's basically saying, oh, we held him to a standstill. You know, he says, for Jerry Jones, this is a victory. But to him, I say, guess what, buddy? You're sub 500. You're 1-2-1. Green Bay is 2-1-1. They still outrank you. And the fact that you couldn't even beat them at home, and the best you could do was tie them, oh, that's not great. So when I think about Jerry Jones viewing this as a win, and that quote you just did where it's like, we have to think about what our considerations that we got. And you mentioned, oh, yeah, well, stuff has to get done. Do you know what that reminds me of?
Do tell.
There's this scene from Family Guy where Peter Griffin wants money to buy a boat, but some shady salesman offers him a mystery box instead. And then he's like, oh, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. That's literally Jerry Jones's mindset when he got rid of Micah Parsons. And then he's like, oh, but we got picks. We could even draft the next Micah Parsons. Like, you had him already. And this tie, I mean, Jerry, if you're at the point in your life where you can settle for ties, then whatever, wheel yourself into the other room and watch Matlock or whatever it is the old folks watch on reruns. But I don't think this is anything to be happy about, really, for either side. Green Bay, after starting off the season as the hottest team in the league in weeks 1 and 2, you lost and you tied. You lost to the Browns, by the way, and you tied with the Cowboys. I don't think Green Bay should be happy about this. I really don't. I certainly don't think Dallas should. I mean, yeah, Dallas wasn't exactly favored, but to end like this, no, this is just a go back to the drawing board type of game, you know, iron out the kinks, especially on defense. And Green Bay, what happened to that defense? What? Are you just like a paper tiger now, or what? I don't know what to tell you.
I would honestly argue this says more about the Dallas offense than it does the Green Bay defense. Because this is a Dallas offense that was without CeeDee Lamb, and they were still like, this Green Bay defense is still solid. And as you mentioned,
are we talking about the same Dallas offense that only put up 14 against Chicago? Is it that same?
Are you going to ignore the 24 first half points they had against Philly, and then all of a sudden a storm rolled in? Or
okay, and then what happened after that, Chris? What happened after that?
Yeah, they got shut out, but they both teams were out of
momentum. Okay, but we're not just sitting here and pretend this isn't elite.
They also had 40 points against the Giants.
They run hot and cold.
Yeah, they do. But it doesn't mean that you can't run hot a lot.
Like, you run hot and cold, and you can beat up on really weak defenses like the Giants. And no, this does say a lot about the Packers then, because like, they still, like, why do you get carved up like this? And why could you not hold the Browns to less points than your offense can score? I mean, I'm not going to pretend their defense was bad in that game, but
no, I'm not.
There are red flags. That's the point. There are red flags. This is quickly looking like a mirage.
Sure.
Also, don't look now. The Lions have overtaken them.
No, I completely agree on.
Are the Lions 2-2? Or are they 3-1?
They're 3-1.
Not entirely. Okay, yeah, no, then the Lions have overtaken them. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think this shows that the Cowboys can. I said this like after the Philly game. This is probably going to be a Dallas offense that's going to be able to run with you in these high scoring games, and they showed that. So that's kind of what I was getting at with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to kick it to ourselves for week four, top three, bottom three. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We are currently recording this now after the doubleheader Monday night football matchups that we had. Pretty much fresh off of the Broncos beat down of the Bengals 28-3. But news of the night, Tyreek Hill diagnosed with a dislocated knee. Very, very gruesome injury. Had that close-up shot and you just knew it was... It was not good, to say the least. So they're expecting him to miss a lot of time because with the dislocated knee, he's going to most likely bring a lot of ligament tears as well, or not a lot, but multiple. So they're expecting that. So we probably won't get news about that till, later on Monday. So we'll see later on Tuesday, I should say. So we'll see how that ends up panning out. But that's for a game that where Miami was somewhat able to figure it out on offense a little bit. Still one of those games where kind of did have to hold off a little bit of a last minute rush from the Jets. Otherwise, good first win, an even worse loss at the wide receiver position. But CJ, your thoughts before I get into what Tua is doing on the cart.
I'm going to have to give the old slow clap to the Miami Dolphins. It's like, oh, did you want me to be impressed that you were in Miami and beat the Jets? Like, you were at home and beat the Jets? Do you want me to be happy? Like, do you want me to be proud of you? Do you want me to say it's gonna be okay? Mike McDaniel's a good coach. Tyreek Hill's definitely not hurt, and Tua's brains definitely aren't mush. Like, what do you want me? Like, I mean, yeah, you know, you beat the team you're supposed to beat. That's good. Your future's still terrible. I mean, good for you for getting your first win. I mean, it was against the Jets. That's cool. I mean, Tua was okay, 17-25, 177 yards, two touchdowns, essentially. You know, he was he's reverting back to being a game manager, it seems. You know, very safe, very deliberate play calling. Not the usual explosiveness we're seeing. But like you said, by the way, before we do that, shout out Darren Waller, who had two touchdowns.
NFL.
Darren Waller touchdown in the big 25. What are we doing?
In his Miami debut as well.
Yeah, many such cases.
Yeah,
I mean, but going back to the injuries, though, Tyreek Hill, that's gonna suck. That's gonna be a big, 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 big problem for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, there's really no bones about it. Unfortunately, it's just, I mean, for lack of a better term, it's just bad.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about old Tyreek Hill, if that is his real name, I kid. He's a small receiver, as you know, 5'10", pretty undersized as far as receivers go. And he's 31. And wide receiver tends to be a position where once they hit 30, you know, maybe it's not as bad as running backs, but they lose a step. Hill has already been fighting the decline allegations. We already, you know, we know this. And forget a season ender. This could be a career ender, because even though it was a knee injury, to draw a basketball comparison, granted it's at a different point in the leg, but this is eerily similar to when Gordon Hayward was on the Celtics and had his ankle going in a whole other direction. You know, and that's it with Hill. His knee was literally at a right angle. His knee went the full 90 degrees. And with a dislocation, like you said, often becomes ligament tears, ligament pulls. This might be something that you don't come back from. And even if you do, you're 31, you're going to be 32 next season as a wide receiver, undersized. You're not coming back the same if you're coming back at all.
Yeah. If this is it, definitely one of the most electrifying receivers that we ever got to watch. Don't know if we could consider him a Hall of Famer, but he's one of those guys that will definitely be remembered for a long, long time. Anyways, so he's on the cart, right? Mm-hmm. And he just starts yelling, "Let's go," like, "Yes," pointing at the crowd, pumping his fist, and it's like he didn't just dislocate his knee. It was like, yeah, I got to get my, I don't have to worry about Tua throwing me the ball anymore. Like, that was one of the more insane things I ever saw, but kind of just goes and adds on to, the whole Tyreek thing throughout the off season and to like Tua as well. Just golly.
By the way, Chris.
Yeah.
Since you asked, you know, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I will actually let you be the judge.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Read me some stats.
Tyreek Hill's stats. Hold on, 3, 6, 9. So across 10 seasons, right, from 2016, 2025.
Okay.
He has 11,296 yards on 813 catches, along with 83 touchdowns and 8 Pro Bowl appearances. So there's that. I mean, you know, hey, that's pretty good. He's got, he has 6 seasons of over 1,000 yards, and he has 3 seasons of double-digit touchdowns. We also has one read like 9. So you have to realize he was also, I believe, a 6th-round pick, and he has, I believe, 5. I'm looking at it right now. 5 AP first team all pros.
Wasn't he like a triple crown winner too, or was like very close to being one?
He almost was a triple crown winner in 2023.
That's right.
He came short on receptions, where he had 119 receptions, 1,799 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. Yards and touchdowns, he both led the league. But he came up short in total receptions. So that's
I like those numbers, CJ. That might be enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah. So he's a 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time. So in recap, 5-time first team All Pro, 1-time second team All Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler. You know, I read off all of his stats, or you know. 813 catches, over 11,000 yards, 83 touchdowns. And if you want, I'll sweeten the deal for you. 819 rushing yards with 7 rushing touchdowns and over 1,400 return yards and 5 return touchdowns. And he was on the NFL 2010s All-Decades team or All-Decade team. And on top of that, he does have a ring. A lot of people forget that, but, you know, he was
with the Chiefs. I don't really think many people forget that, to be honest, because he was part of one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history that led to the Chiefs' comeback.
And if anyone is still unsure, we can use... So, by the way, one of the greatest sites the internet ever has is has ever had is Pro Football Reference. And what they have is like they have this like little calculation thing where it like gives them like a statistics and analytics based score, right? And it will say, should he be in the Hall of Fame, right? And it looks like he should be. Statistically, it should be. However, the Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame monitor says he comes up just short. They gave him a total career score of 94. I'm going to round and call it 0.6, which places him 19th among all receivers. The average Hall of Fame receiver's total score, you know, when weighted for era and such, is 100.5. To me, I say that's close enough. If this is,
yeah, I would like to. I wonder if it is because of where he ranks amongst ranks in like the all-time receiving lists. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like he kind of has to. Like, don't get me wrong, I can name 10 receivers better than him. I can. And frankly, you can name at minimum all in their prime three receivers that are better than him in his own era, you know, like Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. Like prime D Hop was better. Yeah. Like, so yeah, that's five, but still he's got the stats, the accolades and the ring. So yeah, he should probably be in the Hall of Fame.
I'd give him the nod for sure.
Yep.
All right. Let's do week four, top three, bottom three.
Oh, do you want to say anything about Broncos and Bengals by any chance? Other than the fact it was an absolute beatdown?
Yeah, I mean, Jake Browning had 125 passing yards or something like that. He played terribly. Also, I did want to mention about the Dolphins Jets game. Jets were running the ball very. Justin Fields had himself a solid day. Not a terrible day, not a great day. He had a good day. Had a 43-yard rushing touchdown. Scampered around a little bit. It was a pretty nice watch. Jets running game. I mean, I'd expect them to, on like good days, I'd expect them to be close to like 200 yards rushing.
Yeah,
because that's going to be the majority of their games is running the ball. In terms of Broncos Bengals, though, like, yeah, Jake Browning, terrible. Didn't play good on the road at all. That's back-to-back games now where they have played on the road and have looked like dog shit. Let's see what the Bengals have coming up. They got the Lions at home next week. Golly. Then the Packers on the road. Then they have a Thursday night matchup against the Steelers, Jets, Bears, home games. So four of their next five are at home. So, but those are not easy matchups to try to get yourself back on track. Things are looking pretty bleak.
Unfortunately, so yeah. Especially for the Bengals. Just
what did you
mean?
What do you make of the Broncos, though?
I don't know. I mean, congratulations, you walloped the Joe Burrowless Bengals, who also don't have a defense. Did you want a medal?
Yeah.
I mean, this was pretty much a get-right game for them. And, you know, you're in Denver, you're hosting a team without their quarterback. This is a game you should win convincingly. And win convincingly, they did. Hey, and that's nothing to sneeze at. But next, you're going to Philly. Now, I'm not asking you to win that game. I'm asking you to show signs of life. You know, if Denver just rolls over and dies, then maybe we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they played good against the Bengals today, as you mentioned, but they're without Joe Burrow. Bo Nix just seeming like it's a sophomore slump for him. He had a good game today. I liked RJ Harvey today. They were giving him a lot of touches. J.K. Dobbins, ground game was working for him today, so that was good to see. I just like it when the running game is going.
Yeah.
Just love that. Just pound the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Week 4, top 3, bottom 3. First on the list, Da Bears. Da Bears. Da Bears.
Yes, I agree.
Huge win against the Raiders. This is one of those games that if Matt Eberflus was still the head coach, they were not coming out on top. This was one of those games that is like the classic Bears was going to happen. Raiders were going to get that game-winning field goal. Instead, they get the block kick, which, like I said, like this finishes like that don't usually happen for Chicago. So that was a good win for them. Speaking of good wins, Patriots, 42-13 against the Panthers. The Panthers are a bad team. Yeah, both teams came in as 1-2. But this was the first time where it felt like that things turned in the right direction for New England. And who knows? Maybe this is the right amount of kick that they need going into their Sunday night game against Buffalo, which that's going to be a very good litmus test for the Pats. Chiefs. Everyone was counting them out. And they did what they do usually do. They stick it right back in your face. In this case, they beat the living hell out of the Ravens. That's really the only right way to say it. I mean, yeah, Lamar got hurt, but
it was the game was already over. It literally doesn't mean anything. And I have seen some Ravens fans online saying, oh, well, if Lamar was healthy, it's like, oh, the game was already out of reach. He was not coming back.
No.
The Ravens just aren't that kind of team. It's not even a Lamar thing at this point. It's a Harbaugh thing.
Yeah, 100%. All right, bottom three, the Titans. I got to hand it to him. Like, Cam Ward's doing what he can. He even said in his post-game presser, we suck, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad team right now. That O-line is not giving their quarterback many favors. And in this case, they get shut out by the Texans 26-0. A team that has not been very impressive. And Cam Ward also 10 for 26 with an interception, 108 passing yards. Just a tough day at the office for the Rook.
Yeah, honestly, this is one of those games where, at least according to me, you can't really put it too much on Ward, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the team around him is straight garbage. He was right when he said something to the effect of, I'm going to keep it a buck. We ass. Yeah, he is correct.
Yep.
He made no bones about it, and rightfully so. Yeah.
Yeah. Chargers. Lost to the Giants 21-18. And they fell victim to the backup bunt with Jackson Dart. Justin Herbert, two interceptions. Those are the only two turnovers for the Chargers that day. But they also had 14 penalties.
Gross.
Team that was making a lot of big strides. Well, like I said, fell victim to the backup bump. And coming in right at the horn, the Cincinnati Bengals. And yeah, you could say it's Jake Browning. You know, you got a backup quarterback in. Defense is doing what the defense has been doing, which isn't very good. But this is now back-to-back games on the road and putting up absolute stinkers. Last week against the Vikings, and then you got 40-pieced. This game in general, yeah, the Bengals were able to kind of make it more of a slow grind for the Broncos en route to them end up getting 28 points. But it was just a bad game overall. Like Jake Browning with 125 passing yards. This was just an all around ugly, ugly game for Cincy.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts from you?
You know, I thought about being maybe like a tiny bit more lenient towards them, you know, given that there's literally no Jake Browning, but that just can't be an excuse for them. It literally just can't be.
Yeah. And no Joe Burrow, you mean?
No Joe Burrow. Sorry, I meant they had Jake Browning.
Yeah.
No Joe Burrow. I'm sorry. That's not an excuse. That's not going to win you any sympathy points, especially not for me.
Especially when we have seen that Jake Browning can be a competent backup quarterback as well.
There's no reason. Hot take. I know the line isn't great. I know the defense is going to do you any favors. But when you have Chase Brown, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins, there's actually no reason for you to suck as much as you do. And that's the truth. That's like the actual legitimate, unvarnished truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Honorable mention for the bottom three, the Colts, Daniel Jones throwing two picks. Kind of finally seeing Daniel Jones come back to earth a little bit. But in total, this was a day ruined by AD Mitchell. So that's probably the biggest reason why the Colts are on the ball or would be a honorable mention in this case. Other honorable mentions, obviously Panthers losing 42-13. Actually, CJ, did you pick them?
Oh, yeah.
I'll go through some more honorable mentions, but while you do the math.
Yeah, gotcha.
Honorable mention, I guess you could go with the Falcons, winning 34-27 against the Commanders. Obviously, you know, Commies are working with a backup quarterback too.
Hey, Chris. I was going to say Atlanta won that game, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Commies were working with a backup quarterback too, but Penix threw three for 313 yards, Bijan 75, Drake London over 100 yards. Drake London had a really good day. As a Drake London fantasy owner, I should know that.
By the way, the Jaguars won, right?
Jaguars won. Yep. That's
all right. I just want to make sure because I feel like I know, but if I'm not 100%, you know, got to ask because I'm doing it right now. And Adam did not do that well this week, is all I'm going to say.
Jacksonville honorable mention for Jacksonville. I mean, we keep thinking that they're going to just kind of ride this weird wave to the end of the season at this point. But I mean, Trevor Lawrence did all right. Wasn't his best day, but they had Brock Purdy throw two interceptions, four turnovers total, but they also committed 12 penalties. But this is also a Niners team that has some injuries going for them right now. But San Fran should have George Kittle and company back at some point. Honorable mention for top three, another one, Green Bay, Dallas. Although they tied, that was still a game of the year candidate regardless. That was a very entertaining game to watch. Let's see what else. Baltimore, honorable mention, mainly because they are dealing with a plethora of injuries themselves. On top of losing by 17. But things aren't looking good for Baltimore. Depending on how these injuries shape up, I don't know if we were talking about this earlier. Don't know if you can really shape them up to be Super Bowl contenders. Speaking of Super Bowl contenders, Buffalo 31-19 against the Saints. Shout out to the Saints. They've, you know, Spencer Rattler.
He's doing his best, but I think he's defeated as a starter. Literally,
the opposite. He is. He's 0-10 now.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I've crunched the numbers here, Chris.
Okay, yes.
If my math is right, in last place, I believe, is Adam with 7. tough. And for the record, I decided not to count the Green Bay-Dallas game. We all picked the Packers. It was a tie. I'm not counting that as a win or a loss. I'm just discarding it. That's like this weird little purgatory.
That's fine. It could be a half point.
You and Tuck tied with 8. And I got 10.
Damn. You're hot.
Yeah. So for the ones I got right, I picked Pittsburgh, Houston, Philly, New England, Buffalo, Detroit, Jacksonville. I was the only one of the four of us who picked Jacksonville, by the way. The Rams, the Bears, and the Broncos. So, yeah. I guess, so once again, we all picked the Packers, so maybe we all get one, maybe not.
I was thinking it's a half point.
That's weird.
It's a half point for, you know, Ryder Cup style. Half point.
Also, even though he did come in last, I will give Adam credit for choosing Kansas City when the rest of us went Baltimore.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he also went Raiders when the rest of us went Bears, and Colts when the rest of us went Rams, so... If I got that wrong and my math isn't right, well, y'all can look. Like, it's not like I'm lying. It's free information. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that is all of our scheduled content for you today. Be sure to check out new episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we have all of our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, and we'll see you on Friday. Over and out.